Going to call this meeting to order for the Business Finance Facilities Committee. That's the appropriate use of a gavel, but okay. It is 10:05. Angela, will you please take roll?
Chair Downs.
Here.
Vice Chair Boylan.
Aye.
Regent Brooks. Regent Gokachia.
Here.
Regent Goodman.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you. I'll now move to agenda item number one, public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 933-5568-7402 and passcode 555-555. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There is none at this time.
Is there any public comment? Thank you. Any public comment at the system office in Las Vegas?
None at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here at UNR? Okay. Please state your name for the record.
There we go. My name is Larry Daly, D-A-I-L-E-Y. I'm an emeritus professor here at the university. I was told by the campus police that they would arrest me if I came to testify at this meeting today. Beginning this week, I was in a class on mediation, and my tuition was paid for by the Director of Health and Human Services for the state of Nevada. During that meeting, they said that mediators cannot allow their meetings to be recorded, and I asked, what happens if one of the people in the meeting has a disability and has the right to record? They said, we're not going to get into legalities here. We don't know them. I was taken aback. I said, I'm sorry, I've wasted your time. I left the meeting. At 5:40 after business hours that day, I got an email from the director of extended services saying I'd been withdrawn from the class because I was disruptive. So I came here 2 days ago to file a discrimination complaint at UNR. I started in the Human Resources office. They advised me to go to the provost office, said it was out of control. But we talked. We had a good conversation. I then went to the EEO office. It was locked. I'm told it's always locked. People who have been raped and subject to Title IX see a locked door. I was met there by two UNR police officers. I asked to go in. I was told by that office that I couldn't record any meetings. I said, I don't believe it. I'd like to see the policy. They threatened to remove me. When they did show the policy, it turned out what they said was a lie. They recorded the meeting. I asked if I could have a copy. They said no. I asked for the police to join me so we could have a safe meeting. The police watched them exit the room. I was told by both the deputy chief of police and by HR that I should contact the provost's office. Provost wasn't around, but I went to the Clark administration hall, talked to a really nice woman. I really wish I knew. We were having a great conversation. And then the police walked in again and said I would be arrested if I stayed there. Now, I am an emeritus professor, and I have an agreement that I can be on campus, signed by the university. The ADA Title II has what's called the interference clause, saying it is unlawful to interfere with anybody trying to report discrimination. I later found that I'd been followed by the UNR police all day. even though HR and the police deputy chief told me to go to the provost office, they came there and said if I didn't leave, they would arrest me. They ended up putting me in handcuffs and issuing a trespass warning. And they threatened to trespass me if I came to this public meeting today. I informed them that the Attorney General would be most disappointed in such an issue. Folks, the ADA gives people the right to file a complaint. They shouldn't reach a locked door. They shouldn't be lied to about what their rights are. And having people with guns follow you to three different meetings has a chilling effect on whether you want to file a complaint. I've tried to bring this to the attention of the university president several times. To this point, he's refused to meet with me. Since that happened, I'm inviting each of you to meet with me. Folks, I think being a regent is more than listening to people self-report on how great they are. I think you need to talk to people like me. I think you're in violation of federal regulations. And I think people are being harmed. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Are there any other comments here at UNR? Seeing none. SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
There's no callers at this time.
Thank you. We'll move on to, on the agenda, to the consent items. This is for possible action. This includes the minutes, the third quarter fiscal year 2024-2025 budget transfers, state-supported or self-supporting operating budgets, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Health Resources and Services Administration Grant Notice of Federal Interest, Future Wellness NSU. So we can take those all together as a consent item, or we can take them individually.
Rita Brooks, for the record, I would offer to take them all together, and I'm making a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the item? Seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 I vote aye as well. Opposed, say nay. Motion passes. Okay. Moving on to item three, third quarter fiscal year 2024-2025 fiscal exceptions, self-supporting budgets. This information item.
Thanks, Chair Downs. Chris Fatone, Assistant Chief Financial Officer for the record. Item three on your agenda is the third quarter fiscal exceptions report. This is the report that provides information about programs and projects ending the quarter in a cash deficit position. As has been the case, it's broken down into several categories for you. The first section, which are the first three pages of the report, are those programs that ended in a deficit. Followed by the capital project accounts, which is on page 6 of your materials, and the special project funding accounts on page 7. The pages after that are accounts that end the quarter in a deficit, but just due to timing differences that we track and are resolved timely after the close of the quarter. So the program accounts are those that you've seen on a fairly recurring basis on the report. Things such as the CSN Dental Clinic, the UNLV Athletics Program. We do have a couple items that I've done. All the items in the narratives have been updated for you. In addition, I wanted to mention we did some work with the UNLV Medical School on their accounts that you see the GME reimbursement accounts and the Faculty Practice Plan reimbursement accounts. You'll see that the reimbursement account from the Faculty Practice Plan that ended the quarter with a deficit down to only $189,000 at the end of that quarter, meaning otherwise that the practice plan was current on its liability back to the medical school for the reimbursement activity that it incurs. on the GME accounts. That deficit balance represents the receivables from the clinical partners for their GME activity, and the narrative gives you the background on the amounts outstanding from each of the partners and the timing. So I just wanted to highlight those updates from the last quarter, and then I know you may have some questions for the campuses on the other items.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee on this topic? No? So non-committee members, so Regent Chair Garvalo.
Thank you, Chair Downs. I did want to make note that the CSN dental faculty plan has been on this report for a very long time, and I think we are at the point where there needs to be more consideration on that moving forward. I certainly don't want to see the practice plan go away, but I am concerned about the deficit there. And as I've spoken to President Kibler about that, I know that there are some discussions happening regarding that. Through you, Chair Downs, I would like to ask President Kibler if he has anything to add to that. But I would like to see us escalate this to come to some sort of resolution or new level. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bill Kibler, CSN President, for the record. We introduced at the March board meeting the beginning of work on an MOU with UNLV School of Dental Medicine. I can report to you now that work has continued, and we have established seven tenets or goals that we shared at that time: increased student success and enrichment, resource sharing, enhance CSN's DFP, expand patient care, increase community programs, new lab technician program, and working together on future programming. The conversations and work between those two entities has progressed. We have co-chairs of a new, relatively new dental faculty practice, UNLV School of Dental Medicine Collaborative Planning Committee, that has seven representatives from both institutions that are working on the details of this MOU that is anticipated to involve several pieces, a clinical affiliation agreement, which I believe I was told yesterday has just been signed between our dental hygiene students to be able to have clinical assignments at UNLV School of Dental Medicine. So that's an important step forward. The identification of a shared electronic health record software that UNLV would bring to the relationship. CSN's committed to having the right computer hardware to effectively run that. Details on that are being worked out and are being discussed in this collaborative planning committee. Establishing a central billing process between both of the two institutions is being discussed by that committee as well, which is another intersection with this Axiom system that UNLV has. Also, being discussed by that collaborative committee is the possibility of CSN allowing UNLV dental residents to provide specialty care at the dental faculty practice, and billing codes established to that, depending on who's providing the care, who gets the reimbursement based on a percentage between the two programs. And there's an RFP for a consultant that's been determined. It hasn't been we haven't pulled the trigger on that, but the scope of work will include not only the dental faculty practice, but also our dental assistant and dental hygiene programs. The point is, and we're just now at the very beginning of having the finance folks from both institutions begin working together to talk about fiscal implications of that. Will there be cost sharing, this issue of billing that will provide revenue for both entities? The possibility is UNLV may come and occupy some of that space, which we anticipate. Would there be a rental structure involved in that would also provide a revenue stream for the dental faculty practice? So our place where we are now is we'll feel very positive about this relationship going forward. we think we can come to the next board meeting and report on much more specifics. That MOU should be completed by then, as well as the financial analysis of whether or not this has the promise of increasing the revenue stream to the dental faculty practice and therefore beginning to eat away at the debt. CSN is fully committed to covering that debt at the point that we feel confident that we have a plan that we don't just pay off the debt and then we look up a year later and we're back in debt again, is my point. And so therefore, this relationship with UNLV we think has great promise to be able to do that. What's still to be determined is the actual increase in revenue possibilities there are for the dental faculty program. Enhancement of the quality of the program and the care and the opportunities for our students and providing a new kind of beachfront, you might say, for the School of Dental Medicine, all of that is there. It's just a matter of working out those details. What's still to be worked out is the revenue piece to really determine how that arrangement will then benefit financially the dental faculty practice. As you know, we serve a very unique clientele, a lot of folks that are underserved, under-resourced, many of which don't even have the ability to pay for care, or others, their reimbursement is extremely low. So very difficult for us to hire dentists who are willing to come for the small amount of money that they're going to make because the reimbursements are just not there compared to other dental practices. So that's been a long-standing problem. We get it. It's a high-priority item for CSN to continue to stay focused on. We can't tolerate any more, just as we wouldn't expect you to continue to go further and further in the red. So if this arrangement with UNLV is not going to turn that around, then we'd have to make more dramatic decisions about the future of that practice. Thank you.
Thank you, President Kibler. Sure. And Regent Goodman.
I'd like to commend you, President Kibler, for doing something, making a plan, trying to make this get out of the red. So I very much appreciate the collaboration between you and UNLV. And I think that there is some room there, and I've expressed this to several individuals, to just really look at best practices for billing. You know, how can we make that practice plan in the black? So I'll be looking to work as Health Sciences Committee Chair with both of those entities to make sure that we're providing them the support that they need. So thank you.
Any other comments from the committee or non-committee? No. Okay. Then we'll move on to item number 4, grant of access easement for DRI. It's an action item.
Thank you, Chair Kumud Acharya, President of DRI. DRI is ABP for Campus Planning and Facilities. Peter Ross will be presenting this item.
Morning. Peter Ross for the record. Before you today for consideration is a request to approve an access easement on DRI's Reno land. This request comes from Reno Leased Housing Associates, LLP, a subsidiary of Dominion, a nationwide company that develops affordable housing. They are seeking to develop a parcel immediately east of Enchi land. Specifically, the developer is asking to construct a driveway across approximately 8,600 square feet of land that's controlled by DRI. This will provide a safer route into their parcel for their development. The proposed access easement does not impact the master plan development of DRI, TMCC, or the DRI Research Park. The developer is offering $22,027 as compensation for this use. This exceeds the appraised value of the land, which is $21,530. We further request that the Chancellor be delegated authority to execute the grant of access easements allowing and all auxiliary documents that may be required after review by Enchi Chief Counsel or Enchi Real Estate Counsel. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any questions from the committee on this item? Any questions from Regent Kumar committee members? Yes.
I know you can't see me, the light behind me.
It is tough to see.
Yeah, I look like an angel right now with this light behind me alone. But I just have a comment, and I'd like to make also a motion to approve the grant what they're asking. This is scientist Ross. That's all I can call him. He's a scientist. And I had the opportunity to meet with him and Dr. Kamood. And the stuff they're doing out there at DRI is just amazing. Especially one thing I think we need to give them approval just based on that. Could you tell me what that was about the cell, the eco cells? Could you tell everybody all the good stuff you're doing there? But just, I know, just one thing today, please.
Thank you, Regent Boylan. Regent Boylan was kind enough to visit our campus the other day, and we had the privilege of showing him around.
We're getting off the topic, I'm sorry.
No, mm-hmm. it's on the topic because I'm saying why they should get approval for this to get, you can just say something nice about the place.
Chair Downs, Julian yes. Martinez for the record, if I may. This item
where is
he?
Oh, my gosh. There you are.
This item is specifically about DRI's real estate transaction, so I think this talking about the research on a separately related item would be off the allowed agenda topic.
I get you, conciliary. You always get me good. No, I was just praising my way of saying thank you to you guys and praising you. That's all. I apologize, Chair.
That's fine. It's nice to say nice things about people. So.
Yes.
But we have a motion from Vice Chair Boylan. And
second.
We have a second from Regent Goguchia. Sorry. Okay. But I did want to ask the question before we vote on it. So this will create a pathway to this neighborhood, correct? And is it going to be disruptive traffic-wise for the goings-on of DRI and TMCC?
Thank you for the question. Again, Peter Ross, for the record. The access into the developer's parcel is directly off from Dandini Boulevard, and it's just a bit east of the entrance into TMCC and quite a bit east of where DRI's entrance is. So I don't see any reason why it would make any impact at all. Because it's a safer route into their parcel, it should actually improve traffic in that it would minimize the delays that would otherwise happen. The developer does have the ability to get into their parcel without this access easement, but because of the topography, it's a bit steeper, and I would expect that people trying to turn into the development would take a bit longer while they're waiting to make those turns because of the path would be a bit more circuitous. Since this is a more direct path, the traffic should flow smoother. It's on a very small piece of the land that we have there on the hill above Reno, and it seems it'll be good for that developer's parcel, it'll be good for affordable housing in Reno, and good to provide a little bit more housing for the area. And I didn't see any reasons that it would impact our operations at all. So thanks for the question.
Well, I guess my follow-up on that, though, just traffic on Dandini itself, which we have students and employees going to and from the institutions, I mean, it's going to contribute to that to some degree. Would you not agree?
Yeah, there's no doubt that additional development will bring additional traffic, but as a private citizen, it's hard to see that, but seeing the area develop, see the property rights that people have on adjoining parcels, and the development is guided by the City of Reno and their planning efforts, it's hard to know how one could mitigate that. But I appreciate that concern.
Okay. Thank you. We have another question from Regent Okachia.
More of a comment than a question. Again, we're talking about 70 linear feet. They're paying $100,000 an acre for this small piece. Maybe we should look at some more of these easements. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? I'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 I vote aye as well. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. On to item number 5, lease agreement, 3085 Potato Road, Winnemucca, Nevada, for GBC. So I believe we have President Dinelli.
Thank you, Chair Downs. Regents, good morning. I'm President Dinelli, Great Basin College. Today I am here to talk to you about a lease agreement that we are wanting to enter for an industrial building that's around 10,000 square feet. With our additional programs, adding diesel and industrial maintenance, we need larger space and a larger footprint. This is part of our $1.4 million that we received out of the Tech Hub dollars. And so we are requesting this lease is at a cost of $760,000 for a four-year period. In between that time, we do have a transition plan of what we anticipate that we will be doing. We already have an electrical program as well as instrumentation in Winnemucca, and so we'll also be adding those programs into this building. It's a brand new building, and so the property owners have already, you guys have the schematics built in the classroom space, and we have an outline of how those other programs are going to all fit in that space together. And then just in addition to prior, after we had already submitted or subsequent to submitting this lease request, we also learned that we needed three-phase power. And so we are also requesting that amendment to this lease. And I would be open to any questions you might have.
Are there any questions from the committee on this item? Yes, Regent Gokachia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regent Gokachia for the record. Now, the three-phase power, you're going to have to pay for that, or the it'll be incorporated in the rent?
That will come in out of a grant that we just recently submitted that we believe that we'll be a recipient of. If not, it will come out of the funds that we have at GBC.
Any other questions or comments? Any questions from non-committee members? Okay. Then is there a motion to approve this?
Motion by Regent Gokachia.
Second.
We have a motion by Regent Gokachia, second by Regent Goodman.
Chair Downs, if I may, Michael Wixon, yes, for the record. I would respectfully request that in the motion, that the motion acknowledge the request by President Dinelli that the lease is presented to the board for approval, that the board approve an amendment to the lease to allow for the three-phase power that President Dinelli discussed today.
Okay. Is that a friendly amendment? Or
Regent Gokachia, accept that friendly amendment.
And...
Second.
Okay. That satisfy? Are we good?
Yes.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Oh, I say aye as well. Opposed, say nay. Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, number five. Oh, no, that was number five. Number six. Potential sale of approximately 20 acres for the planned Veterans Affairs campus at UNR, and I think I just out of overabundance of caution, I'm going to read my disclosure statement. That pursuant to NRS Chapter 281A, I hereby disclose that I have a daughter who is a student at UNR. Because independence of judgment of a reasonable person would not be materially affected by the situation, I will vote on this matter. So, okay, let's go forward. President Sandoval.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair Downs, Vice Chair Boylan, members of the committee, Chancellor McNair. For the record, my name is Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. We are here to respectfully request your approval to continue exploring the sale of approximately 20 acres of university-owned land adjacent to our health sciences corridor to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and it's not too far from where we are at this moment. This request, and I want to make sure this is clear for the record, does not finalize a transaction. Instead, it allows us to collaborate with the VA and the state of Nevada to assess site feasibility and negotiate a fair compensation package, one that would return to this board for review, consideration, and hopefully approval. This location presents a compelling opportunity to establish a new VA campus, including a hospital and related services adjacent to academic, clinical, and research units that are deeply aligned with the VA's mission, and the benefits are significant. For our students, it means expanded access to high-quality clinical training, mentorship, and research opportunities and jobs. For our faculty, it offers potential for impactful research in areas such as rural health, infectious disease, immunology and health equity, social work, mental health, and many more. For Nevada's veterans, it ensures greater access to timely, high-quality care delivered in partnership with an R1 research institution. And for the state of Nevada, it enhances a growing pipeline of healthcare professionals ready to meet Nevada's evolving needs. I want to acknowledge that the proposed site currently supports several campus functions, including surface parking, a small child care facility, and recycling services. We are developing thoughtful strategies to relocate these operations and ensure continuity of service. The VA has expressed a strong desire to move forward with its due diligence process, but cannot proceed without additional assurances. Today's request provides that assurance without obligating the university to a sale by allowing us to fully evaluate this opportunity and again return to you with a comprehensive, well-informed proposal. With your approval, we can take the next step in what could be a transformative partnership, one that serves our veterans, advances our academic mission, and strengthens Nevada's healthcare infrastructure. So again, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, thank you for your time and thoughtful consideration. We respectfully request your approval on this agenda item. Thank you.
Thank you, President Sandoval. Are there any questions or comments from the committee?
Yes, Vice
Chair Boylan.
Can I say something friendly here too? Thank you. President, so is this the property that you can see from the Chancellor's office, right?
Okay. Mr. Chair, to you and through you to Vice Chair Boylan, for the record, Brian Sandoval. Absolutely. Where the NC office is, will share a property line with the proposed site.
Oh, I wanted to say it's a great area, and we have two chancellors floating around here today, but I don't see any of them here. Are they here? No, not even one? Oh, there he is. I love this guy. Okay. And he's going. He allowed me to see this property, and I think it's a great, great thing that the UNR is doing. I really appreciate what you're doing for the veterans.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Any other comments or questions? Yes, Regent Gokachia.
Motion, Regent Gokachia, to authorize UNR to continue in the negotiations, because technically that's what we are. And give them our blessing. Thank you.
We have a motion from Regent Gokachia, second from Vice Chair Boylan. Any further discussion? Any questions from non-committee members? Okay. I'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I vote aye as well. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, the next item up is the field house. I'm going to read my statement again. Pursuant to NRS Chapter 281A, I hereby disclose I have a daughter who is a student at UNR. Because the independence of judgment of a reasonable person would not be materially affected by my situation, I will vote on this matter. Okay. So, President Sandoval.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Boylan, members of the committee, Chancellor McNair, Chancellor Charlton, I apologize for missing you on the former agenda item. For the record, my name is Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. And thank you for the opportunity to present this important item. Today, we respectfully request your approval of the ground lease and sublease agreements necessary to move forward with the University of Nevada, Reno's field house and turf fields project. For nearly three decades, the university has been exploring a path toward creating an indoor, multi-purpose field house that meets the needs of its campus community. Today, with your support and approval, that vision is within reach. Over the past 18 months, maybe longer, thanks to the extraordinary commitment of Tolls Development, a Nevada-based partner that has donated its time and expertise, we have nearly completed the design and are close to beginning construction. And you have some materials in there. You can see some artist renderings of the project. The project includes a 73,000-square-foot indoor facility and two 200,000-square-foot turf fields. These spaces will serve our NCAA Division I student athletes, but just as importantly, they will also serve the broader student body including intramural and club sports, ROTC, cheer, the Pride of the Sierra band, and all who seek a safe, inclusive place to stay active, even in the harshest of weather conditions. And I, you know, I've commented before, I've seen our students out there in 20-degree weather in the rain, sleet, and snow. I've seen our students when we have the smoky conditions here, and it's pretty extraordinary what they have to endure to be able to engage in some of these activities. But our university is the only cold weather institution in the Mountain West Conference without an indoor athletic facility. And as I mentioned, we face snow, smoke, lightning, and high winds that frequently disrupt scheduled practices and activities. This project will directly enhance student safety, competitive readiness, and year-round access to recreational opportunities. Importantly, this project is being delivered in a fiscally responsible and forward-looking manner. No general fund dollars are being used for construction. The project is being financed through tax-exempt bonds issued by a special purpose 501c3 entity, NCCD UNR Fieldhouse Properties, LLC. Sublease payments will be made by the university and funded through a $3.50 per credit athletics and recreational fee approved by this board, as you recall, last December 2024. In fiscal year 2026, that fee is projected to generate $1.9 million, building toward more than $2.1 million by 2030. An interest-only structure in the first year will allow us to create a reserve of $500,000, ensuring fiscal sustainability as we begin repayment. Philanthropy has also played a critical role. Private donations have already covered initial design and permitting costs, and additional fundraising efforts are underway to support enhancements to the facility upon completion. These efforts are consistent with the approach used for other campus projects and underscore our shared commitment to responsible student-centered investment. If approved, construction will begin immediately following financial close, with completion anticipated in summer 2026. In other words, we hope to break ground either next month or August of this year. And with your support today, we can meet a long-standing campus need. And I've described it as the white whale that this university has been seeking for over 30 years. And again, if you've seen the conditions that our students, our band, our ROTC, our club sports, our teams have had to endure. I mean, they literally are shoveling snow off of their fields so that they can practice when the conditions are bad. So this will ensure that our student athletes and non-athletes alike have access to the resources they need to thrive and have an incredible experience on our campus. So with that, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, would appreciate your consideration and favorable support of this agenda item. With us today, if you have more questions, our Athletic Director Remp, as well as Andrew Klinger, with questions regarding financing. Again, thank you.
Are there any questions from the committee?
Chair? Oh, she had a hand up first. And that's Regent Goodman, not just she.
I was looking this way. Who's up first?
That doesn't matter.
Let's go Regent Kukuchiya, then we'll go to Regent Goodman, and then Vice Chair Boylan.
Well, I just mind.
Want to be clear that when the bond is retired or the 30 years, the building is in UNR's ownership at that point.
Mr. Chair, to you and through you, to Regent Goguchia, for the record, Brian Sandoval, yes.
Thank you.
I'd like to move to approve.
But I have a remark to make also.
Thank you. So we have a motion to approve by Regent Goodman, and a second by Regent Boylan, or Vice Chair Boylan, and there's a comment from Vice Chair Boylan.
A comment, that's the word, not remark. Yeah. Thanks, President Sandoval. I think this is a grand idea. We should have had this long ago. Since I've been on the board, I remember you bringing it to us, and I think it's a bloody disgrace that it's been like this for the students for so long, especially the cold up here. I'm feeling cold up here coming from Vegas now, and it's summertime, so I feel for those students. And that's what we're supposed to do, is help the students the best we can. Thanks for staying on top of it, President. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chair.
And Mr. Chair, to you and through you to Regent, Vice Chair Boylan, thank you for the comments.
Yeah. Is there a motion acceptable to language? Okay. So, any other comments on this motion? I'll call for the vote. Okay, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I vote aye as well. Opposed, say nay. Motion passes. Okay, thank you. And UNR has one more, and I'm going to do this one more time, even though it's going to do it. Pursuant to NRS Chapter 281A, I hereby disclose I have a daughter who is a student at UNR. Because the independence of judgment of a reasonable person would not be materially affected by my situation, I will vote on this matter. President Sandoval.
Thank you, Chair Downs, Vice Chair Boylan, members of the committee, Chancellors, Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. For the record, I'm here to respectfully request your approval of a resolution authorizing the university to purchase the real property located at 701 Evans Avenue for $650,000, consistent with its appraised market value. This property is a duplex located on a tenth of an acre lot within our faculty and staff housing district, commonly referred to as University Village. And as you recall, you approved the purchase of, I think it was approximately 16 parcels last year. It represents a valuable addition to a strategic cluster of properties we've been assembling in direct proximity to campus, with the dual purpose of expanding access to affordable housing and creating flexibility for future campus growth. The property has been thoroughly vetted. A certified appraisal, asbestos inspection, and phase one environmental report have all been completed. While two underground oil tanks were identified, the seller has agreed to remove both tanks and, if any remediation is needed, cover the associated costs. The university will reimburse the seller for the cost of removing any non-leaking tank up to $40,000 only upon the successful close of escrow. The purchase will be funded through the university property acquisitions account and property management account with no impact on the state operating budget or general fund. Like other university-owned residential units, this property will be managed by our real estate office and will immediately contribute to our graduate student, faculty, and staff housing inventory while generating rental revenue to support its operations. So with that, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, we respectfully request your favorable consideration of this agenda item. Thank you.
Thank you, President Sandoval. Are there any questions from the committee? Regent Gokuchia.
Regent Gokuchia for the record. Now, you anticipate that after you purchase it, you will continue to rent it?
Mr. Chair, to you and through you to Regent Gokuchia. So, we'll clean it up, but it will be immediately available for occupancy. Essentially, it's a duplex. I believe it's about 1,250 square feet per side, one bedroom. So it's going to be absolutely ideal for one of our graduate students or faculty or staff, but yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions or comments? Regent Goodman?
Just a quick question. Do you prioritize anyone, just with what you said? Do graduate students have priority over faculty or over staff, or does everyone have an equal opportunity to get the property?
So, Mr. Chair, to you and through you to Regent Goodman. So this is a good problem to have. We have more applications than we do spaces. And essentially, I think it is means tested as well to ensure that the neediest of our faculty, staff, and students have access to it. Perhaps Mr. Klinger will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's purely a lottery, so nobody, everyone who is within that means structure or that has access, they put their names in, and hopefully they will benefit from it. I will say, while we're on this agenda item, we've already started having students, faculty, and staff occupying the buildings that have been remediated and cleaned up, and new floors, new appliances, new paint, new yards, new fences, alarm systems. It really has turned into an ideal situation for affordable housing for the people on our campus.
Sounds like a lovely community. Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
To approve, Regent Gargachia.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and from Regent Gargachia, second from Regent Goodman. Any further discussion? Seeing none, call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I vote aye as well. Opposed? Say nay. No opposed. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee. We are grateful for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to item number 9, Paradise Campus Update, UNLV information only.
Good morning, Chair Downs, Vice Chair Boylan, Chris Heavey, Interim President of UNLV. We're here today to talk about the Paradise Campus parcel. You may recall that we had initially planned to sell this parcel to the airport once it was vacated and the buildings on it were demolished. The airport decided ultimately not to purchase the parcel. We also had board approval to sell a piece of this land to the Boring Company for a station for their Vegas Loop project. And now they've decided not to proceed with that purchase either. And so we are talking about how to move forward with this land and wanting to come back to the board with an RFP to consider other proposals, either for a long-term lease or potentially a sale of this land. But before doing so, we wanted to come forward to the board to gather input and any thoughts you may have about how we should proceed with next steps about how to utilize this parcel. Thank you. And so I'm here for any questions. I have David Frommer, our Associate Vice President for Planning, Construction, and Real Estate, also who can share any detailed feedback about the history of this parcel of land. But basically, we're interested in the thoughts about and that you may have before we come forward with an actual proposal for an RFP. Thank you.
Thank you, President Heavey. Are there any questions from the committee or comments? Regent Gargachia.
Regent Gargachia, for record, just a comment. I'm sure it'll be worth more than $100,000 an acre we're talking about at DRI. So thank you.
Thank you.
I see that looks like there are no questions about this. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. We'll proceed with developing an RFP to bring back for the board for approval.
So we're on to item number 10 then. Purchase of real property, 4412 South Maryland Parkway, Las Vegas, Nevada, and allocations of capital improvement fees to fund a portion of the purchase, UNLV, for possible action.
Thank you, Chair Downs, Vice Chair Boylan, and members of the committee. Again, Chris Heavey, Interim President of UNLV. We're very excited about the opportunity to purchase a parcel of land directly across from the campus that has been part of the approved master plan strategic opportunities since 2021 and really been part of the long-term vision of our kind of Maryland Parkway-focused expansion of the campus since the days of Carol Harder, if not before. This land came on the market. It's occupied currently by the Methodist Church, and so we are asking for your approval to proceed with the purchase of this land, as well as to use the appraisal that's slightly more than 1 year old that was posted in supplemental materials yesterday. We think it's advantageous to not ask for a new appraisal, given that there has been some potential appreciation in land values. And so the seller has agreed to honor the appraisal that is slightly more than a year old. We'd primarily be using funds in our account that was used for acquisition of real estate, but we'd also like to use some capital improvement funds to complete this sale. We don't have an immediate plan for this property, though we can see several really valuable uses of it in the future. And so we have agreed to, and asking for your approval as part of this purchase, a lease back to the current occupants for up to 2 years at no cost to them. We see this as being advantageous to the campus because we have no immediate use for the property, and they will keep it occupied and maintained and make sure that it doesn't become a spot that's occupied by homeless individuals or have other kinds of difficulties. It would be under the jurisdiction of NSHE, so the University Police Department would respond to ultimately calls, though they would be routed to 911 for Metro because they're not part of our phone system. And ultimately, they would be responsible for all the costs of upkeep and maintenance of the property during the time of their leaseback. Myself and AVP Frommer are happy to answer any questions you might have about this potential purchase.
Thank you, President Heavey.
Chair.
Yes, Vice Chair Boylan.
Thank you, sir. Maybe it's Dr. Frommer, right? Yeah, maybe he knows better, but we just had a, I'm saying it like I've got a mouse in my pocket or something, there's two of us. But I know they had a fire there in the roof of that building. Who fixes that? Who pays for that? And how does that work?
Yes, thank you for the question, Vice Chair Boylan. David Frommer, yes, Associate Vice President for Planning Construction Real Estate at UNLV. I appreciate the conferral of an honorary doctorate. I don't have my doctorate, but I will take it.
You're welcome.
So, yes, so I believe there was a small fire. It was either Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday of last week. Yeah. I went by that day to look myself from the sidewalk. I didn't want to go on property because we're not an owner. Evidenced some, I would say, limited damage, and then I did talk to the seller. I met with the broker and the seller on Wednesday or Thursday. I walked the property. The damage is, I would consider, relatively nominal, but there will be a condition in the sale agreement that says that they must restore the building to its pre-damage condition. You know, I guess another option we could look at is, if we were planning on demolishing the building anyway, we may say, give us the insurance proceeds in lieu of repairing it. I think we might have it as either option, but they are obligated and they've agreed that they will repair the damage as a condition of sale, and that's a standard sale of our agreement if there's a loss or casualty prior to our purchase and the closing.
That's outstanding, and I knew you'd know all the nitty-gritty about that. And therefore, since we have the two chancellors here, I'm going to ask them to bestow a doctorate on you for all this. All right? Thank you, Chair Downs. And you can smile today. It's all right. It's my birthday. It's fine.
Thank you, Vice Chair Boylan. Any other questions about this topic? Comments? Yes, we have from Chair Carvalho.
Thank you, Chair Downs. Thank you for providing the supplemental information. It makes it much more advantageous for committee members and the board to support these types of acquisitions if we have all of the information. So thank you for that. Following up on Vice Chair Boylan's question regarding the fire, will there be will the lessee at that point be responsible for security? I hear you say that UPD and Metro would respond if there were issues, but on a daily basis, what kind of assurances do we have that the property assurances as best we can? That the property will be safe and secure for the lessee and if UNLV and its students use it during that time.
Thank you for the question, Regent Carvalho. Good question, and I want to distinguish here between kind of routine property security and safety in terms of property management. That will fully be the responsibility of the tenant, as it is a responsibility now as the owner. So I do think that as the developer and owner of this property for 60 years, this tenant's probably the best position to take that on because they've done it for 60 years. The one distinction I would like to make to Interim President Hebe's remark is, because it's a university property, if there's a criminal call for a criminal activity, so it's not safety and security, like someone's on the site who is trespassing and, you know, they want them off, or, you know, locking down doors. That is a tenant property management responsibility. But if someone comes on site and is, you know, threatening to commit a crime or is in the act of committing a crime, that will be a police responsibility since it's under NC ownership. Our police are responsible, the UPS, for our property. So they would have primary responsibility for responding to a call for police for a criminal activity item, not for routine safety and security. And to Interim Heavey's President Heavey's point, since the church is not on our phone system, their call will be routed to Metro initially. Metro will have two options. Metro can respond, and many times they do if they get a call, even if they're not the primary jurisdiction. There is interlocal agreements between the police to support each other, which is a very good thing. The other option Metro would have would be to route it to the University Police Services dispatch to have them respond. So UNLV, or University Police Services, which is more than solely UNLV, will have some responsibility to respond to criminal activity as they would to any other property owned by NCHI on behalf of UNLV. However, it's probably practically likely that Metro may respond to some of those criminal calls, 911 calls, just because of the dispatch systems and how they work.
And just to clarify, on a daily basis, is there any security there currently, and will there be once this property is owned by UNLV?
So the church has their own method of securing the property. They do run a preschool there, which people in the community, including likely some UNLV faculty or students, may send their children to a preschool there. I believe they intend to continue to operate that, as well as they have some of their office staff there and conduct some of their services and for the community and for their patrons and their congregants. So I believe right now they have their staff conduct the security. I don't believe they have a third-party security service, but that will be their responsibility, and they are the sole occupant. I will make one caveat. One thing that we're discussing in the lease is there's quite a bit of parking out there, and they don't need much of it. So UNLV, as part of this lease, may take possession of some of the surface parking and use it. Our intent is not to invest very much in the property because ultimately we believe it's a demolition candidate. So the way we've been talking with our parking team is that if we do use the property for some UNLV parking, it will probably be daytime only because it doesn't have the full suite of UNLV security measures like emergency phones and lighting to the levels we like lighting, but during the daytime it shouldn't be an issue. In that case, UNLV would secure and provide any services on the part of the property that is not subject to the lease. But the church would have that responsibility, and I believe they have quite a bit of skin in the game as they've done it for years. And if they're having congregants or childcare there, clearly they've been dealing with this issue, and they do have some issues, like we all do in the neighborhood. The fire was started by someone who I believe was having some issues and got into the rafters. So occasionally those issues do come up, and I think they're prepared to deal with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Any other questions? Is there a motion? Okay.
Second. Oh, I better say it louder. There you go.
So we have a motion from Vice Chair Boylan, or you have a comment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And a second from Regent Goodman. Are there anything, any particulars, Mr. Wixom, that we have to add to this motion? No? Okay. So, any discussion on the motion?
One question, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Now that Mr. Wixom is here, how legal or how do we do this if it's a property that's already earning money? Can we keep releasing it back to the people who are running it now, the church, and still make money for the university till we decide exactly what we're going to do with it?
Michael Wixom for the record. Regent Boylan, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Okay. What I mean is, can we still keep making money off it by letting the current tenants stay there because it's a business. They have a child care center, so there's money coming in. It doesn't cost us anything. So is there a way to do something like that? I'm just curious.
So to make sure I understand your question, what you're asking is whether or not, now that the university owns the property, if it can lease the property back to its present occupant or to a third party. Is that your question?
Yeah.
The answer is yes, it can.
Okay, thank you. So we can keep getting money in from them as we sublease it back to them as well?
Yes, as we would any other institutional property that we would lease.
Outstanding. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I vote aye as well. Opposed, say nay. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're on to item 11, a long-term lease agreement for use of space at 1455 East Tropicana Avenue, Las Vegas, Nevada. President Heavey.
Thank you, Chair Downs, Vice Chair Boylan, and members of the committee. We're here, asking for approval of the lease for our Center for Academic Enrichment and Outreach. There would be a three-year lease with two possible extensions up to a total term of 7 years. This property is already occupied by them, and they're a very successful unit that needs this additional space that's not available on campus. They would provide the funds through the grants that they receive to cover the lease, and if those grants were to be terminated, we would have the ability to terminate the lease. So we're asking for your approval to move forward with a continuation of this existing lease. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, President Heavey. Are there any questions or comments from the committee? Any non-committee members? No? Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve, sir.
We have a motion to approve from Vice Chair Boylan. Is there a second to the motion?
Regent Brooks, I'll second the motion.
We have a second from Regent Brooks. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, a call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I
vote aye as well. Opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to new business. Are there any new business items that the committee would like to see? Seeing none, we will go on to public comments, number item 13. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There is none at this time.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Las Vegas?
There is none at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here at UNR? Seeing none? No? Okay. Seeing none. SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
There are none at this time.
Thank you. And I will call this meeting to adjourn.